Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. Hey, listen, we're going to switch gears now. I've been in the triple dipper for a while. Department of the State of Denial, we had that one first. Next one was insurrection obfuscation, which got a little activity there with folks calling in talking about whether we're allowed to overthrow the government or not. We're not. And then number three, I'm switching gears altogether. Going to a Montgomery watch right now. Just to remind you, by the way, your state legislature is in session right now. And I've said on the show before, and I tell you right now, as a former state senator, I know for a fact that what happens in Montgomery can oftentimes affect our daily lives even more than what happens in D.C. It's things out of Montgomery that can change, like, what you pay in local taxes. It can change things like even right down to what your sales tax rate or your gas tax at the pump. It can change things like, are you allowed to text and drive? It sets up standards for your state, like, are we going to be a state that does or does not allow abortion? All these things happen in Montgomery. Well, your state legislature is in session. They went into session, a couple weeks ago. And this is called the regular session. They do this every year. It's scheduled at a certain time to start. They have a rough amount of time of to be in and out. And then at the same time, though, the governor chose to go ahead and call a special session, which is where everything comes to a grinding halt, and they set aside all other business, and they go into a special session on one topic. Right now, that one topic is spending the federal relief dollars that we got in COVID. We have a batch of about $772 million that they're down there trying to spend, and they chose to do that through a special session in conjunction with the governor calling them. So there's that. But there's a whole lot of other stuff happening. So what I've done is I've contacted my friend Parker Snyder over at the Alabama Policy Institute. You can check them out at alabamapolicy.org. Alabama Policy Institute keeps their eyes on Montgomery, works on issues related to public policy and legislation, and my friend Parker Snyder is the guy who keeps track of it. So Parker's on the phone right now. Parker Snyder, how you doing, man?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for your time today. And I got the spreadsheet you sent me. Let me ask you this. First of all, the spreadsheet you sent me of bills, are these just bills that you're tracking right now, or is this the sum total of what's in the hopper right now?
So we have tracked bills that I think are interesting and important to API, and then some personal ones I think are also interesting. But then I also have listed, I've gone through every single bill that's been filed in the Senate and the House and looked at it just to make sure I know what's happening. And in case someone says, all right, what's, you know, HB 74 is coming up. That's a terrible bill. And I'll be able to look, if I don't know the name off the bat, I'll be able to look and be like, yeah, that's the bill that does this. And you're right. That is a terrible idea. So I just, you know, I want to be aware of what's happening in a way that's efficient and effective too.
Well, absolutely. And you know, just to remind our audience, Parker, you've been on the show before talking about the fact that the Policy Institute just released a conservative platform, things that we believe that conservative candidates or office holders should be seeking to do or support, or not support for that matter. And so I would assume that looking through the list right now, a lot of what's on here are things that either do or don't fall within that that platform that's been developed most recently.
Yes, all of the things that deal with the platform are included in my personal list of bills that I'm watching, because those are, exactly as you said, those are the things that are going to be affecting Alabama the most and are the opportunities Alabama legislators have to make the conservative vision real for the residents of our state.
Well, let's do this, man. Let's just talk through some of these.
Sure.
And one of the ones that's gotten some attention, I was on another show this morning talking about it, is the idea of grocery tax elimination. You know, right now, Alabama is one of what, Parker? 13 states total. I think you and I emailed back and forth that. It's 13 states total that taxes groceries at all, right? And then.
Yeah, exactly. And there's not very many who tax it fully either, like three, I think.
Yeah, and we're one of the three. So basically, the most most sales tax that Alabama could apply as a state to something, not the locals, but the state, is 4 cents on the dollar. And some states choose to do grocery taxes at a lower rate of those who do grocery taxes at all. Alabama is one of only three that chooses the highest possible tax rate we can put on it, right?
Yes, and 37 states, or 30, my math is right, 37 other states, they don't have any sales tax on groceries. And, you know, you think maybe it might be a good idea if everyone else is doing it, especially when it's talking about lowering taxes. That rule doesn't apply to everything, but when it talks about lowering taxes, if if Tennessee can do it, if Georgia can do it, if Florida can do it, and those are all conservative states, maybe it's time for Alabama to do it too.
Oh, it's beyond time. I remember being so frustrated having to vote against grocery tax elimination bills because they always tried to tie it to raising a tax somewhere else so they wouldn't have to scare off the teachers union who didn't want to see money lost in the education budget. But right now, we've got massive surpluses. So let's do this. I don't want to spend too much time unpacking every single bill, but that's a key bill, grocery tax elimination. The only one I see on the list you sent me today is the one by Senator Jones, but that one has an offset by basically doing away with one of your tax deductions. So that one's like a no-go in terms of really being a tax cut. It's like just basically changing where you send your money. There's another one right now that's more clean, right? Where's that one?
Yes. Yeah. That one is sponsored by Representative Holmes. That's HB 174. And the cool thing about this one to me is that, yes, it has no offsets, so it doesn't raise taxes in other spots, which is a problem. And it's also bipartisan. There are three Democrats who are co-sponsors on this bill, and the fact that they're co-sponsoring a bill that doesn't have offsets to me is a really great sign for the possibility of actually this being the year this happens.
Okay, so that one's in the hopper. Do we know what committee it went to by any chance?
It should be going to the Education Budget Committee. I'm assuming because it involves with the Education Budget.
All right. And this is last time. Yeah, it should be last time. I've got numbers stuck in my head. I mean, back when I looked at grocery tax years ago, when I was still in the Senate, it was like a $365 million annual intake to the education budget. I think it's more like $460 million. What do we see coming into the education budget annually because of grocery tax? Do you recall?
Yeah. Justin Bogey at API, who's on your show often as well, he told me a couple days ago, that the most recent number, because, inflation has happened and people are buying more food because there's a little bit more money in the economy, that the number is more around $500 million. But still, when you think about the education department asking for $800 million increase this year, it seems like that's not that big of a number compared to how big our government has already gotten.
Well, tell me what other bills. I don't want to use up all our time on one. So there's one that we're watching right now. There is a bill to do away with taxes on groceries. That's cool. All right. So what other bills are you watching right now?
Yeah. So there's a couple other themes I've noticed in the bills. One theme that I've seen is basically anti-COVID mandates. There's a couple bills that would allow private employers, or would actually disallow private employers from requiring vaccines for their employees. It would ban them from doing a lot of other things like discriminating against people who don't have vaccines. So this would end not only public vaccine mandates, but private ones as well. And that's an interesting conversation that I don't know if you want to have on the radio right now, because it's, a lot of conservatives disagree on this specific one, that kind of idea of corporate or private property being, the rights of the private property owner versus the rights of the individual. And that's a discussion that's hard for conservatives.
Well, it is.
Our values are fighting against each other.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is we don't like overreaching mandates that tell you what you will or will not do, and also disallowing you the opportunity for a religious exemption or something like that. But at the same time, you got to be real careful when you start telling the private sector, that government tells the private sector you can or cannot require this for your employees. All right, what else are you watching?
Yeah, so there's other tax cuts that are sponsored by Senator Orr. They're somewhat small. They're increases to the standard deduction. And then there's another tax cut that would reduce the amount of taxes from a deferred compensation plan if you're retiring. The first $10,000 of that right now is taxable. It would get rid of that. So those are really cool. There's some bad bills that are out there, which is common, as always. A gambling bill has already been filed. It's not the gambling bill, probably, but there's multiple lottery bills that have been filed. I may have misspoke. There's no gambling bill filed, but there are multiple lottery bills filed, and we know that they are going to file a gambling bill that's going to, as I'm sure you talked on your show, and I know you talked on your show, would give monopolies to people who have been breaking the law for almost a century by now. There's a whole lot of other things that are happening too. There's a bill that, wants to bring Confederate monuments back into the discussion, which we all love that discussion. And they want to make it to where they would fine a municipality that, you know, thinks that a monument is objectionable, and they would fine them every day instead of just a one-time fine.
Wow.
And so that, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening, and that's probably going to get a lot of media attention. But these grocery taxes, these tax eliminations, these things are the ones that have the most effect on everyone in the state.
Well, okay. I tell you what, let's do this. We're gonna move to a break right now. And if you can hang on through the break, Parker, if you would.
Sure.
We come back from that. We got two other bills out there. All of the GOP in the House are supporting a constitutional carry bill. And then we also have Senator Shelnut upstairs in the Senate banning transgender therapies on minors, I believe, on SB 5.
Yep.
I want to hit both of those when we get back, all right?
Great.
All right, folks, we're on with Parker Snyder, just identifying legislation that is already being considered in the Alabama State House as they are in session right now. These are things that come out of Montgomery. You may think that D.C. sucks all the oxygen out of the room in terms of the news. You better pay attention to Montgomery, too, because more comes out of Montgomery that affects your lives every single day than what comes out of D.C., in my opinion. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now, 4:23 p.m., winding up a little bit of this segment, although we'll talk more about Montgomery. By the way, Charlene just sent me another text. She's full of the zingers today. Her thing was, we ought to rename this part of the Triple Dipper. What happens in Montgomery does not stay in Montgomery. So there's that. All right, hey, going back to the phone with Parker Snyder from the Alabama Policy Institute. If you want to know more about API, the Alabama Policy Institute, you can find them at alabamapolicy.org. They've got great analysis. They've got great reference material. They've got all the things you might need to help, you know, research what's happening in terms of state legislation. They're part of the State Policy Network, which is a national affiliation of other organizations like them. So, hey, Parker, let's go back to your list. There's two on here that I think are going to get a lot of attention. One of them allegedly has tons of support. The other one caused a controversy last year. Let's take those constitutional carry first. How about that one?
Yeah, so there are about a bazillion attempts to pass constitutional carry this year. You just do one quick search on our bill tracking software for constitutional carry or permitless carry, and there are a ton of options that show up, and we're tracking all of them. And typically what constitutional carry means is that it's permitless carry, and you can carry a firearm openly or concealed without a license or permit. So I honestly, this is where I like struggle as a conservative. Sometimes I'm like, I don't love guns, but I am a lot more okay with this idea than I would have expected me to be, mainly because you look at all the other states that have constitutional carry. You look at states like Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, West Virginia, Tennessee, Mississippi, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri. This is not like a crazy new idea. Like, this is just something that we've been doing for a long time in our country and has not resulted in a lot of the problems that the left might want us to assume is going to happen if we allow this to happen in our state. So I think that's really interesting. As we may have seen on, some of your audience may have seen on 1819news.com, that's a new news organization in Alabama. The Alabama Sheriff's Association, their director, has actually been working with a guns rights or anti-gun rights group to try to stop this in Alabama. And he said some things that I would refer your listeners to 1819 News.
Oh yeah,
read that story.
We've talked about it. He's actually gone on to say that he could see amending the Second Amendment to try and get around something like this. What the sheriffs are allegedly saying, this is going to cause a spike in crime, which does not compute with data from other states, like you said. What we're really thinking is that they're just, you know, for that matter, they just don't want to lose the fees they get off of these concealed carry permits. We are already, as Alabamians, we are already in an open carry state. You can put a pistol on your hip and walk around with it showing. It's when you carry it concealed, you have to have a permit. All said and done, we're looking at a bill right now that appears to finally have the level of support it might need, at least in the House. And we'll wait and see what happens in the Senate. But you're right. The Sheriff's Association, as an organization, is bucking this thing hard. All right, man. Listen, let's move to a totally different topic. SB 5, Senate Bill 5 by Senator Shea Shelnut, a repeat of last year. My recollection was this was an attempt to ban the use of transgender transitional therapies on minors in the state of Alabama. Is that what the bill does this year?
Yes. So this is pretty much a carbon copy of last year's bill. And I believe went through both committees or the committee hearing in both houses. And I think it passed, I'm pretty sure it passed the Senate last year. The House was not so lucky. But basically what this bill would do is it would stop any hormone therapy or surgeries on that are transgender nature on minors. So anyone who's in Alabama, minors, anyone who's under 19 years old. And so that is something that the state of Arkansas actually passed this bill last year, and the governor, who's a Republican, Asa Hutchinson, he actually vetoed it, and then the Arkansas legislature overrode that veto. I don't think Governor Ivey would veto that here, but it is an interesting dynamic that, a state that's just as conservative as us by some measures had that kind of an interesting reaction. But this is another one where conservatives argue, like, should the government be telling parents what they can do to their children? And that's a concern, but also the concern for the children who are having lifelong procedures and non-reversible procedures done on them before they're, of age before their brain has even fully developed.
Yeah, I think, I think the key point there in this particular argument is no one is saying once they achieve the age of majority, 19 in Alabama, that they can't make these decisions for themselves. What it's saying is as a minor, they have to have the authority of another adult to have this done to them. So you can say your 12-year-old believes being born a boy that he's really a girl, but you can't go out and get the medicine to block their hormones and have the therapies done that could have a lasting and final impact on their life in many ways. And that being said, we already have laws in Alabama that protect minors from behaviors. Like we have statutory rape saying that an adult cannot have sex with a child. We have abuse laws. We have, other protectionist laws that prevent, for that matter, a minor can't go get a drink of alcohol because it's been determined that they shouldn't do that. There are certain things we say minors can't do, and this, I think, falls into the realm of things that shouldn't be done to minors. So that's going to be interesting to watch. Hey, Parker, man, we are out of time. This didn't even begin to scratch the surface, so we need to do this again sometime soon. You good with that?
Definitely.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate you being on the phone with us today. That's Parker Snyder. Parker Snyder from the Alabama Policy Institute. Yep. There's a lot of legislation going. I'll talk about a few more when we get back from this break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back for the final half hour of today's show.